Probably hadn't been there in a few days, but you got a Schofield you can find around 953. Don't look in front of your Bible and you can find it there in order. Glad I'm saved this morning. It's good to be saved. Thank the Lord, as Brother Vince has said, for camp meeting and what God has done. But you know, we need something today, don't we? Sure do. It's always amazed me, Brother Gerald, about preaching and sermons. Maybe you can relate to this, but isn't it amazing how you can hear a sermon, a message, I mean a heartfelt message from heaven, and so stir your soul. You leave the house of God and you're just overwhelmed with what the preacher brought. And then next week is just like it hadn't even happened. And I've noticed in my life, Brother Tim, that's why I need to be so persistent at the house of God. I think persistence pays off more than we'll ever know. I've noticed those that keep their children on the sound of the gospel, they get saved. And you know, if you just pull your young'uns in and out, then you're reducing the benefits to them of getting saved. You know, the devil may be telling somebody, well, preacher, I brought my youngest here since they've been born and God ain't saved them yet. Well, God ain't done yet. God don't do everything overnight. It takes time. And I thank the Lord. We've got a God that knows where we stand. I wish y'all would pray for me today. I'd appreciate it, be grateful. I start a revival this evening. I've asked the church to pull that time back to 5. I'm going to go to Noonan and preach this evening at 5. I'll be back here to preach tonight. And I don't like missing church too much, but you pray for me. God has helped me today. I need the hand of the Lord on me. And we've got, you know, it seems to be several new families visiting our church, needing direction for their lives. And you be praying for these families. And I can't say enough to our church body this morning about your friendliness, your friendship to people when they're hurting. First time visitors as a family. See, her last Sunday I was out. They told another family, said, I tell you what, if you go to that church, you're going to have to hunt another excuse not to come back besides they're not friendly. And that's what we need to have here. We got, you know, people hurting, they come pray. Get up off the bench, go pray with them. And let's try to remember our times here. Wednesday night, 7:15, we pray. Sunday night, 7:15, we pray. And then the ladies, I've noticed, I appreciate that. They're praying on Sunday morning. We can't pray too much. Matter of fact, our country's in a bad shape this morning because of the lack of prayer. And it's amazing where our country stands today. It's amazing where our churches stand. You know, Jesus said in the last days, perilous times would come, and so they hear on us. And it's not bothering me so much what's in the world, because I know the world's supposed to be that way. Brother Kevin, what's going on in our fundamental Baptist churches? That's what's really bothering me this morning. And I know we can't do nothing about theirs. We can just sort of see about ours. But let's all do here what we need to do. Pitch in together and do what Jesus had asked us to do. The book of Nahum, verse 1, the burden of Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. God is jealous. Wonder how jealous he is. I wonder, would we put anything before Him to make Him jealous? What do we do that would cause God to be jealous? You know, we're the bride of Christ. Let's think about that a few minutes. What could your wife, men, do to make you jealous? You know, I don't think God wants us flirting around in the world, the self. I think that as we are the bride of Christ, God would have us to be faithful. I want my wife faithful. And I want her doing the duties of a wife. Amen. Now, we could just go on and on what them duties are. But she's been a good wife to me. I wonder, as we in the body of Christ, what kind of wife are we being to Christ? Are we faithful? Or are we showing our love and affection to Him? You ever notice if your wife gets cold? Now, they're a different creature than me and you. I can tell you this, most of the time, if they standoffish and cold, it's our fault. A woman likes affection. She likes the listening to and the talking. And a lot of times, I wonder how the Lord feels when we do what we do. Then all of a sudden, you know what? We have a flat tire, and we pull Him out of the trunk and put Him on the car. And I don't know about you, but I just don't like folks using me. Do you, Brother Tim? I like people to love me for what I am and who I am. Isn't it amazing how God loves us a lot of times the way we treat Him? I was preaching another Sunday. You remember He went over to Martha and Mary. Brother Lazarus is sick. I've been preaching out of that passage a while. And you remember Thomas, he said, Lord, he said, you going back down to Bethany? He said, Lord, they stoned you down there, and you going back over there. It amazes me how good God is that He had come back around us with as many rocks as we throw at Him sometimes. He said, yeah. He said, Lord, He said, they're throwing rocks at you down there. You're going back. He said, yeah, I got some young'uns down there. Boy, I'm glad I'm one of God's young'uns. God is jealous. I want to ask you something right there just a minute. When you get really jealous, how do you react? A lot of times I believe the reason we're disappointed in God is because He's disappointed in us. God's jealous, and the Lord revengeth. Seems like this world's out of control and out of bounds, and it's headed in some bad places. But I'm going to tell you something. You can underline that. The Lord is jealous, and the Lord revengeth and is furious. I don't believe when the planes flew in the towers, that was no accident. It's no telling what we're going to see now. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries. I sure hope America don't become an adversary. And watch this, and He reserveth wrath for His enemies. In other words, He's putting it in the bank. And one day He's fixing to turn the key and let the wrath out. And sooner this morning, you may think that you're just going to live forever, and you think God's going to let you into heaven because you've done some good things. The Bible says you must be born again. The Lord is slow to anger. Now, we've seen that, haven't we, in verse 3. He's slow to anger. You know, there's been times, Brother Dennis, God ought to kill me just for some things I said with my mouth. I've got a hateful mouth. And I'm easy to speak my peace. By the time my mouth is engaged before my brain does. And then I wish the Lord God in heaven hadn't said what I said. Ain't you glad he's slow to anger? Fellas, you remember the nights when you was doing things that nobody knowed but you and the Lord? Ain't you glad he was slow to anger? Ain't you glad? And he's great in power. And he will not at all acquit the wicked. In other words, he ain't letting them by. Wicked ain't getting by. Don't think just because you're doing right and your neighbor's doing wrong and looks like the hand of God's on them more than you. Don't lose sight of the Word of God. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. I hear these people say, well, I rebuke this storm in the name of Jesus. God said he has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. There's no accident. There's a reason for every life that's ever taken in a storm or in a whirlwind. Whirlwind may have blowed up down your house, but I'm going to tell you this. You know what he's doing? He's having his way at your house. The clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry and drieth up all the rivers. You know, we're in a big drought. Now we're getting a lot of rain. God's in charge of heaven. This is how big God is. Was at Gulf Shores with the family the other week. Was out there on that beach with the grandbaby. And I noticed, Brother Tim, them waves would get right here and they'd stop. What keeps them from going on in the motels? I mean, it ain't like it's in a bowl there. It's flat. Brother Randall, a country boy, realizes if it's a bowl there, it's got to wash back. But it goes right there and it stops and it comes back. Well, that's how big God is. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry. Verse 5, the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. I like this, verse 7. That's what stood up to me over there. The Lord is good. And you look at this, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Young families, trouble's coming down where you live. But if you have the Lord, you've got a foothold. You've got an advantage that other people without the Lord don't have. Let me ask y'all something this morning as your pastor. How's folks down yonder making it in them funeral homes today without the Lord, and they've just lost their young'un? Brother Howard, they've just lost their wife. Ladies, they've just lost their husband. How do they make? What is their stronghold? When the husband loses his job, the wife is out of work, and this financial trouble comes. He says, we've got a stronghold in the day of trouble. When sickness comes boiling in at your house, he says, you've got a stronghold. And watch this, underline it. And he knoweth them that trust him. He knoweth them
me here this morning. I'm going to share my heart real plain. That way I don't look real good when I get home. God loves to embarrass the fire out of my flesh.
Yes,
sure he does. Sure he does. Me and my wife worked hard. We had savings. Not even any of our family, that is our kids. But brother, there was money to come by, and he got that from us. But remember, put his blood on my backside. God knows I'm a Christian. And the fact that your youngin is way out younger, you can't reach him. He knows. When trouble comes down your house and you don't understand, he knows you trust him. He knows those that are counting on you. And I'm going to say this, he never let nobody out.
Right.
He ain't, listen, he never disappointed you, you know, he disappointed me, you know. But he's working everybody out from right here.
Amen.
Don't let nobody tell you God won't hurt you, because he will hurt you.
Sure.
You've got to know he hurt you.
Sure.
My daddy hurt me several times. But he didn't harm me.
Yeah.
There may be things going on in your life today you don't understand, but I believe that verse is here for us this morning. The Lord knoweth those that trust him.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Dennis, there was mornings, I'll be honest with you. I looked around at this congregation and I said, dear God, I don't know if we're going to make it or not from the looks of that. But down in my heart, I know what God has done and what God has said to me, and I trust him.
Yeah.
And when you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, sometimes you just got to trust him.
Amen.
I'm preaching. The other day on Peter, he got out of ship to go to Jesus. You remember, he said, Lord, if it be thou him that comes to you on the water, what'd he say? Did you notice both him and didn't say nothing else until they got out there to it? Storm got up and didn't say a word to it. You see, a lot of times, when you walk in our shelter, honey, you got to know what he done said back there.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't going to get no more out here because all this is fake.
Yeah, sure.
What he gives you back under be enough out under when you begin to see it.
Yeah.
But you notice what the Lord done when he began to see it, he reached and he saw it.
Yeah.
He didn't go down. You may think you're going down.
But hey, the God in heaven knows.
A lot of times, that thrust is bigger than pain is. What you going to do when God gives you to do something that don't make a lot of sense, and everybody else says, you're great. God knows if you trust him. You know something I don't know? I don't know, really, just to be honest with you, why he loves me of us.
Right.
I'm going to preach this morning. God lets me over there where you say, touch that ox on that little car. God killed him. Graveyard dead. It don't change me so much why God killed him. It raises me why God ain't killed me. I mean, I ain't out in the world living like the devil. I'm just saying, it's just nothing on me.
Mm-hmm. Just keep trusting Him. Just keep holding on to Him. When things don't look like it ain't working out, God's in control. He's in charge. Now, if you're doing stuff and being no disobedient and you're bringing all that down where you live, it ain't going to stop till you straighten up. My daddy never whooped me unless I needed to whoop it. Now, there's times I didn't think I needed it. But He gave me what I needed. And you know, that helped me. I remember one time I was called the principal's office, freshman in high school. And I got in trouble and he began to question me. I said, "Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir." He said, "Son, is that all you can say is sir?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, go on back to class and don't do it no more." Daddy put stuff on me that I needed to make me what I am today. He said, "God gives us today what we need for tomorrow." Trust Him. Stay with Him.
God is jealous. You underline that real big in your Bible. He wants no other gods before Him. And you know, this is what I want to say, and then we're going to have church prayer.
And I mean this, I mean it with both feet standing flat footed, what I'm fixing to say. We've determined as a body in unity that God's going to be first in this sanctuary, have we not? Wouldn't it be a great day tomorrow if we put Him first in our lives? He said that there'd be no other gods before Him. And it's so easy for these little gods to pop up. What's a god? Anything you've got before Him. What's taking His place? That's a god. What's taking His time? That's a god. And I'll tell you what, He's jealous. Can I just give you a country boy vernacular? What that mean? It means you mess with my wife, buddy. You know what I'm going to do? Watch, I'm going to embarrass myself.
Preacher, you stay right there. I'll be back in a minute.
Well, if a man wouldn't take up for his wife, he ain't much of a man, is he?
Bill ain't gonna sit there and call my wife old cat from me.
Here if I am the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church. Hey, some places Brother Tim Feller got a line drawn in the sand. Mine's drama teams and people mistreating my family. What's what's God think about what we're doing? What's God think? We're His bride. How are we treating Him? Who are we courting? What are we doing? Trust Him. He'll make it work. But you've got to trust Him. And you know something? Those that have the Lord, they have a stronghold in the day of trouble. Brother Adam, y'all are as much a little old boy that's in that thing this morning, but he's all boy. Y'all are raising him dedicated, faithful, serving the Lord. And you know what? He's going to watch when trouble comes to you and Miss Gayla's house. And he's going to really, you know something? My mom and daddy got through it that way. And then he can raise his young ones that way. It amazes to me the caskets I walk to, Brother Philip, a family ain't even got nobody in the family that can pray at a casket. Trouble's coming. We all ought to put the Lord where He needs to be in our life.
You know, and I'm this type of preacher. I've always tried to keep my doorstep swept off before I tell anybody else how to sweep off there. I ain't perfect. But I am called of God to preach to you. And so that's our sermon this morning.
Miss Faye, come play me something on the organ, would you?